Hello, and welcome to another episode of Worst Collection Ever, presented by the Sideshow Network. This is the show where we tell you about the shittiest comic book collection in existence that just happens to belong to us. I'm Jen.
I'm Sean.
And we are here again with two more wonderful selections.
Yes.
I never know what to say there.
Yeah, no, I think that's basically all you need to say.
We are here all the time with more comic books.
Yes. These are and again, we are picking these comics like literally
like 10 minutes before we have to do this.
I feel really bad for you guys. It's not really that fair, but yeah. No, we should definitely. I have to go. Here's the thing, though. The comic book collection that we have
is a disaster.
Well, creatively a disaster, but also physically a disaster because. You know, what'll happen is we'll pull a bunch of comics because you'll read something or whatever, and it's just out of order. And there's a lot of stuff that's in order, but, you know, it's in different boxes, and it's just not, I'm just trying to make everything work via space, you know, so I can kind of label it in a certain way. And I haven't done that in a while, and it's been very frustrating. But nonetheless, that's what you guys need to know about our lives.
That it's just a disaster.
It's just a disaster.
Yeah.
So.
Well, yeah, that's true.
Yeah, but nonetheless, though it's even though it's in disarray, we are able to still find some good stuff for you. This first book I just bought yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Took a little trip to House of Secrets in Burbank.
Yep.
Great store. Here's the thing, you know, we went to the Valley yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Just to check out. There's actually a new store called the Perky Nerd.
Perky Nerd, yes.
And look, I mean, I know it's new and everything, and they'll get their shit figured out. It's been open for maybe like a month or so, and it's one of those that's supposed to be like it's a coffee shop, but like it's also a comic book place. Plus, you can also play games there, and I'm like, all right, great. You know, and then the space itself is, you know, it's nice.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
But they lack dollar boxes, which, you know, that's how we base a successful comic book shop.
That's how
do
we...
Do you have a lot of shit that you don't want?
Well, there's not
assholes like us can come in and buy. And if the answer is yes, then you have a great comic book store.
Well, here's the thing, though, too, and just to be perfectly honest, they don't have anything in terms of, like, a collection.
Well, no. I mean, they just opened.
They just have... new books. Mm-hmm. You know, solely, and they have a lot of, you know,
a lot of toys and stuff, not a lot of back issues.
Toys, novelties, you know, things that are probably, to be perfectly honest, are probably cheap to buy, you know, to purchase wholesale and stock your store with it.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of like buying like shit tons of action figures and having all these other retail nightmares, and that it just doesn't, but it, you know, nobody's, you know, you haven't really developed a, you know, business yet, so people aren't really coming in, but
right.
I mean, hopefully it'll get better. I it's one of those things where we walk into a comic book store and part of me just wants to be like, what the fuck is this shit? Like, I want to say that aloud and be like, you know, because where the hell's all your comics?
Well, yeah, they're new.
I know.
They're starting. They don't have the massive backlog of something like a Heidi Ho that's been open since, what, the 70s?
Yeah, Heidi Ho's been around for the 70s. Yeah. And you got, you know, stores like the Comic Bug out here. And
yeah, they've been around.
Pulp Fiction that have been around forever.
Yeah, and they've been around for a long time. So they've had more time to establish relationships and you know, find the back issues.
You know, vendors and everything.
Vendors,
people,
and,
yeah.
And accumulate stuff.
Yeah.
When you're new, you don't. So.
Yeah, so, you know, that's just my...
Yeah, but I love the idea. See, I mean, this is the thing. Sean and I often talk about this. My personal dream is, honestly, I would love to open a place that's a comic book store / coffee shop that has, like, a performance space, and you can have coffee, and you can sit and hang out, but then there's also, like, comic books... And maybe some old used novels and shit. And
there was that Kick-Ass.
Yeah.
It was like in Kick-Ass.
Yeah, kind of like in Kick-Ass. They had like one of those things. I would love a place like that because, like, for me, that's the place I always wanted to hang out when I was a kid, and nothing like that existed.
You know, it'd be a great place like that. Mm. That I don't know if they arranged it, but would be Trident Bookstore. Remember that place in Boston?
Oh, I loved Trident. Yes, the Trident right on Newbury. Yeah,
right next to Newbury Comics, I think.
Yes,
roughly
it was
right down the street.
Very close. I used to go and eat in their cafe quite often.
Yeah, it's a good place.
Yeah,
great. Guys, geography. Let's talk about it. Anyways, so let's get into our comic books. On the cover of our first issue this week is Robin number 90. Yeah, not Robin 90. It's like, you know, Robin 90. Yeah.
Extreme. Belts.
Well, it's 2001, so we're still in like frosted tips and...
We're getting less extreme as time goes on.
Oh man, nipple rings. Fuck. This is like
Crazy Town? Because they came out about 2000, didn't they?
Actually, Crazy Town. This is peak Crazy Town right here.
Yeah, that guy had everything. Frosted tips, nipple rings,
this is
all
literally,
the tattoos.
This is actually like if DC was like, hey, Crazy Town, kids are into this. Let's see if we can fit this in here somehow.
I don't know if this particular issue.
Not this, but there's a little bit of that in there.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe the guy at the end.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's what I'm solely basing on the guy at the end.
Okay.
Anyways, so Robin number 90 from July 2001. This is the Tim Drake Robin, of course, written by Chuck Dixon. So this is, you know, we're in good hands here. Chuck Dixon, I guess, you know, he's known for writing the character, and on the cover, and this is why I picked this up. So on the cover, Robin is, fighting Yetis.
Mm-hmm. I thought they were giant cat people at first.
Well, that's why I picked this up, because I was like, what the fuck is going on here?
Right. I was like, is he being attacked by cat people? What's happening? And since I have,
oh no, I didn't think they were cat people. I totally thought they were Yetis.
Oh no, I thought they were cat people, and I was very excited because you know I love cats.
I was full Yeti,
and I was like, "Yay, Robin's being attacked by cat people. Let's read this book." But alas, they're just Yetis, kind of Yetis, right? Kind of. They're not really.
They're like Yetis, but like civilized Yetis. They like talk.
Yeah, it's weird.
But then again, I don't know much about Yetis, so maybe that's all Yetis are, and we just don't know.
That's true. I'm not a Yeti expert.
Thankfully, they're not the WCW Yeti.
Wasn't that a chicken?
No. Oh. That was the WWF Thanksgiving surprise.
Oh, okay.
Which, it was a turkey, not a chicken.
Oh, well, same difference.
It was poultry. The WCW Yeti was actually a mummy. So, did you ever see that one where I'm watching? Okay.
I think I did, and that doesn't make it. Didn't Jensen show that?
At the Attitude Era. It was when the Giant and Hulk Hogan fought, and then at the end they brought out the Yeti, and there's a famous scene where, you know, famous moment where Hulk Hogan is being bear hugged by the Yeti, and the giant is doing most of the bear hugging, and the Yeti comes out, and you know he's this giant 7 foot man, like legit 7 feet, and he's dressed as a mummy, but he's the Yeti, you know, or as Tony Schiavone calls the Yeti.
But that doesn't make any sense.
I know it doesn't make any sense here. Although it only
literally
the only part, listen.
I want to ask why? Why are you about to tell me why? You would ever call a dude who is obviously a mummy a Yeti?
I'm going to explain why they called it a Yeti, and they just never bothered to change it.
What, buy the guy the costume?
Yeah. Well, buy a guy an Arctic-themed costume.
Okay.
This doesn't make a ton of sense. So on the Nitro, like before, because they were like, because like the Dungeon of Doom, who had the Yeti, was like, you know, they came out and they're like, hey, we got a surprise for you, Hulk Hogan, because we're gonna kill Hulkamania, and look at this giant shitty ice block.
Okay.
That's sitting by the announcers. We somehow brought this in, and it's a block of ice.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of one of the nitros, out came the Yeti of the ice, and they're like, Yeti, right? But then, we don't know what happened, you know, but that was like the end of a Nitro, and then you didn't see the Yeti again until the following Sunday for the pay-per-view, because as the Hulk Hogan and the Giant were fighting, and Hulk Hogan had the bear hug, that's when the Yeti came out, and they're like, Yeti! And he came out, and it was the mummy, and you know, and they did this thing where the Yeti was like also pulling, like, on the other side of the giant. It looked like he was humping him.
Mm. So when he came out the first time, mm-hmm. did you see him?
You saw him, like, coming out of the brick. Like, you only instantly.
Did you see, like, hands or, like, yeah, did you see an actual guy?
You saw the actual guy, and it was a mummy. In ice.
But why would you call it a Yeti?
I don't know. It's just because, like, I think they call it Yeti because of the snow, of the ice they brought.
But that doesn't make it a Yeti. Yetis are, by definition, hairy, like, kind of like a missing link sort of creature.
Maybe they didn't
they're
want...
They're like a Bigfoot. A Harry the Henderson is a Yeti.
I know that.
You saw that movie.
I know that. I know what a Yeti is.
Okay, then what the fuck? Why? Why would they do this?
I know what a Yeti is. These are Yetis.
Yes. Okay, great. But, like, why would wrestling call it a mummy?
Because they probably were like, we're going to call it the Yeti, but, you know, we probably made up, like, all this promo and all this stuff in our scripts, and we can't change it.
You can buy the guy a fucking rug and glue it to his face. Like, what the hell?
But, you know, because it would make more sense if the Yeti had, like, hair coming out as a mummy. It was a mummy, but he had, like, hair sticking
out.
Sure,
that'd be a mummified Yeti, and I'd be like, all right.
Well, at least it's hair. But no. Oh, yeah, and then the Yeti went on to become a ninja.
You know wrestling is stupid, yeah, right? Did he continue to be wrapped in bandages?
No, he actually
was ha-chawing across.
No, he actually
stage.
Came out and started dressed like Scorpion from.
But didn't they already have one of those guys?
No, that was before.
God.
Or no, wait, it was after. Wait, when was it?
Fuck wrestling. Wrestling makes no sense.
No, it was his next pay per view. That's right, because he went from being. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I got it now. Yeah, in a month's time, he went from being a wrapped mummy to being a Mortal Kombat ninja.
Well, I'm glad he got better.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad death was something he recovered from.
Anyways, so Yetis are in this book here. Okay. So the actual story is called Snake Bite.
Mm-hmm.
And we start off with Robin on a snowy cliff somewhere. And
he's like, what the fuck? Because he sees all these Yetis.
And the Yetis, they're kind of small Yetis.
Mm-hmm.
They're like they're small little Wendigos. And he's like, if these are Yetis, and Bigfoot's got a lot to live up to, even though, you know, they're just like small, muscular Yetis.
Yeah, but they're like creepy looking.
Yeah, they're pretty creepy.
They're cat people.
And one of them has a backpack with a headset.
Yes. That's the technology Yeti.
And it's actually, they communicate because they have a language.
Yes, they do have a language.
They have a language. And they're like, hey, we want to eat this boy.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome.
We want to eat this boy. And whoever this woman is talking to, what's her name?
Eve.
Eve.
She's like, we're going to eat this guy. And she's like, how about you don't?
It's like, no claw, no bite, no eat.
Yeah.
Which is what we say to our cat, ironically.
That's actually true. No bites. So that's why I thought they were cat people.
Oh, good call.
Yeah. She's like, don't eat him, bring him to me. And the Wendigo's like, well, what if I, or the Wendigo?
You call Wendigo, it's fine. They actually look more like Wendigo than they do actual.
They do.
Yetis.
He's like, well, what the fuck are you going to do if I don't? And she's like, I'm going to zap you through this magical backpack that I'm forcing you to wear. So she zaps him, and he's like, no, I don't want to get zapped again. Nobody eat this guy.
Yeah.
So they're going to, like, bring Robin to this woman.
To this Eve chick.
And she's, you know, in this, like, control room, and there's guys, and one of them's like, oh, ma'am, I'll go tell the high priest that our perimeter's been breached. And she's like, I don't know. It looks like she's, like, trying to poke this dude's eye out.
Yeah, she's trying to pull his eye out by her thumb.
Yeah, she's like, don't say anything. I don't disturb him. I'll tell him. Like, obviously, she doesn't want anybody to know Robin is coming.
No, you don't.
No. So then we cut to, some guy.
Okay, so
apparently. Is that Kyle? What's his name?
Danny. There's this guy, Danny Temple, who I think, okay, I and again, no context for any book before or after this Robin series, but. He is some guy, apparently a friend of Robin's,
mm-hmm.
who, from what I understand, is being considered as, like, the leader of this, it's the Cobra cult.
Right, snake cult.
snake cult. And for some reason, he has, like, you know, he's got some sort of, I don't know, he's looking at, we first see him in this book, he's looking at a woolly mammoth.
In an ice cube.
In an ice cube, a small
one. Is that the Yeti?
Yes, that's an adventure. And then after becoming a ninja, he became a woolly mammoth.
And he got stuck in a comic book. Is that what happened?
That was when Vince signed him.
Is that what happened? He became a woolly mammoth inside of an ice cube, and then DC bought it the rights?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Actually, it was 2001. Okay, yeah. No, that's after Dana. So they were kind of like...
We're done with Yeti.
Well, DC has it because WCW was already bought by WWF by the time at this time. So probably what happened was Vince was like, you know what? I don't want the ice cube Yeti. You know, I'll sell that to DC.
Yep.
Turner was like, yeah, because Turner could have bought that. Actually, you know what? This makes perfect sense.
Sure it does.
This makes absolute sense now because WCW was owned by Turner, WB, right?
Yeah.
Warner Brothers, and now
DC.
And DC. So this was all in the family. This is a WCW crossover. Guys, I'm just letting you know. Anyways, so he's looking at the thing, and then they're like, hey.
Like, oh, is it mine? And like, does this mean this tiny woolly mammoth is mine along with all this other shit in jars?
Yeah, gross.
And the guy's like, no, first you have to go through some sort of ceremony.
Yeah, you gotta go through this ceremony, whatever.
Yeah.
And
he's like, but why me? Like, why would you bother picking me? And he's like, well, you had a weird birth because he was a Siamese twin.
Okay, but I have some questions here.
Or conjoined twin, I should say.
So he's a conjoined twin.
Yeah, I'm a little confused by that because
So this baby.
Yeah.
Conjoined twin.
Yeah.
Is conjoined. I don't see another leg here.
Well, that's because he doesn't have one.
Okay, right?
See, that's really weird because conjoined twins usually don't. I mean, they could. Usually they're the same size. That one's so much bigger than this one. And then this one, like, is very small. It's almost like a parasitic twin, the way it's drawn.
Yeah. Now I'm trying to figure out which one is which.
This one with the gas mask on is Danny.
It's Danny?
Yeah. And the small one is the brother.
Uh-huh.
Because when you turn the page, you see, like, oh, you had a terrible childhood. And this is Danny who's crying. This is his brother with a metal leg.
Oh, okay. So there's the metal leg.
And then their parents don't seem to care that this guy's beating the fuck out of him.
So why is he getting the shit beat out of him? Why? I figured. What did he do?
Well, I think the metal legged brother blames Danny for somehow.
You think it would be the other way around? That the animosity would be the other way around because the child, you know, the deformed child is the one that usually gets. You would think that's what they would.
Yeah. Well, maybe he's
shun him more.
Well, he's overcompensating.
Okay.
So he's pissed off.
He's got a sweet metal leg.
Yeah, I mean, dude, you've got a fucking metal leg. That is awesome. Like, you are bionic. That's pretty sweet. Mm-hmm. But, and so, like, I don't get it because his parents, like, don't seem to care.
His parents are actually very happy that he's getting
right, and all they do is smile. And then when he goes to leave, Danny leaves, there's this panel where his brother has crossed out, like, we'll miss you, Danny, and written, like, die, jerk, or something.
Die in pain, jerk bag.
Yeah.
So and, why would you write the first thing first? Did somebody else write it?
And I don't know. Like, that's what I don't get because it looks like the parents, like they zoom in on the dad's eye and it's like metal.
Well, it's also scaled.
So
cobra.
Okay. So does that mean that?
I think it's not metal. I think it's.
I thought that meant that he was a machine.
Because they're saying that they're like, well, why me? And he's like, well, we've been there all along.
Well, that's what I thought. I thought they had installed like mechanical parents to take care of these kids, which is why they didn't give a fuck when they were beating the hell out of each other.
Right.
But I don't know. I don't have kids, so maybe it gets to the point where if you have siblings that are fighting, you're just like, fucking kill each other. I don't care. Just stop.
I think my mom said that once.
I think my mom definitely said that.
I think my mom was like, you're going to fucking fight, wrestle each other because, you know, we would just do like, you know, power bombs and sharpshooters to each other because we're stupid.
Yeah.
And my mom's like, fuck it, fine, fucking do it, I don't care.
It's like my mom, when it would get to the point where my sister and I were just fighting and we would not stop, my mom would just be like, fine, kill each other, I'll love whoever wins. And then she'd just like go outside and have a cigarette. Like, that was my mom.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So apparently there's another guy that was supposed to just be a successor for the Cobra Prime, I guess.
Yeah.
And he died in the movie Snakes on a Plane. You see this picture of a bunch of snakes on a plane. I'm sorry, you have a question?
Oh, no, I was just going to say, so they tell Danny that's why him.
Yeah.
And he's replacing the guy who died on Snakes on a Plane.
Yeah, he's like, well, what about this other guy?
Who
and he's like, no.
Looks like Lex Luthor, I guess.
Yeah, Lex Luthor died, yeah.
So
now back to
Robin and the Yetis.
Robin, and he's like, and the Yetis throw him down a hole.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny because they're like, I can't speak, you guys don't speak any English. He's like, I should have took Yeti in school.
Yeah, he's like quipping. He's so whatever. Funny. Ha ha.
Yeah, whatever. And it's funny because he gets thrown, and one of them says something like Utini, which is what the Jawas say in Star Wars.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, why are they speaking like Jawas?
Maybe that's what the
Is this another crossover? What's going on here?
Yeah, it's a really crazy crossover before Disney bought Star Wars.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So they throw him down a hole, and he's like, well, okay, I got to be careful so I don't, like, you know, land in a tiger cage or, you know, land on my ass or whatever.
No, he does land on his ass.
Well, he does land on his ass, but... So he falls into this, like, hallway where there's the lady, Eve, and her buddies. And she's like, hi. Oh, my God. Do we know each other? My name's Eve. How's it going? Hey. And he's like, I don't know you. And she's like, oh, but we can be the best of friends. And he's like, what?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's skeptical.
So then he's like, I'm going to fight my way out. And she's like, you're being an idiot. Because apparently she has some sort of plan
that
she's not telling him. So he runs away, and then he has this whole...
Well, he has this whole thing in his head where he's like, I could just hear Batman yelling at me now.
I can hear Batman's lecture now. About, like... And then they explain... Batman's lecture explains the Cobra cult. So they've been around forever. They're like a blood cult.
I like that he says something like, you decided to spend spring break with them.
Yeah.
Like, since when does Batman use the term spring break?
Well, when Tim Drake is on spring break.
Oh, okay.
Because, you know...
Does Batman go on spring break?
No, Batman does not take vacations.
You don't think he goes down to Daytona Beach
to
see some wet t-shirt contests?
No, but if you read the Widening Gyre, apparently he spends his days like fucking Silver St. Cloud on a nice island.
And that's
his
spring break, yeah.
And nights somehow kicking ass.
wait. So in that book, does he like go fuck around an island and like go like fight crime at night or whatever?
Yes. How that works, I don't know. How he gets there, he has any energy to do either of those fucking things, we do not know.
I gotta ask Kevin Smith.
Well, I don't know. Kevin Smith never wrote the second part of that. So
is that the one you wrote the Widening Gyre?
Yeah.
That's the one he wrote, because he wrote with the onomatopoeia and shit.
Yeah.
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 What do you mean the second part?
There's a second part.
And he didn't write that?
No, he hasn't written it yet.
Oh.
Like...
Oh.
I don't even know when that thing came out. But there's supposed to be part two, because if I remember correctly, Silver St. Cloud gets, spoiler alert, stabbed.
She gets her neck murdered.
Yeah, but she gets stabbed, doesn't she?
No, onomatopoeia, slices her throat.
Right, stabbed, death. So she gets killed, and that's how it ends, because he had just been like, oh, will you marry me, Silver? It would be great, so I can fuck you all the time, because that's all relationships are about, the sexin' and the dickin'. And so then she gets killed, and that's literally the end, and I don't think there's no other part. He, like, never finished it.
Yeah.
That's it.
You know I'm sitting in his chair right now?
Is that his chair?
Yeah, because when he does...
Or is that his chair?
This could be that or Ralph Garman's chair. Maybe they switch it up. I don't know. Because they tape Babylon, Hollywood Babylon here at the Improv, and they use these chairs for on stage. I'm trying to channel his...
ask him why... If you're channeling
Kevin
him
Smith
through...
chair.
If you're channeling through...
What,
if you're channeling
what is your plan
ass,
for Widening Gyre?
Yeah, will you please... Is this like the God chair? What's that chair that,
name?
Metron?
Yeah, fuck.
Yeah.
Why am I blanking on that name of that chair? Mobius chair.
That's it.
The Mobius chair that channels Kevin Smith. It'd be funny if there's somewhere in like Hollywood, Kevin's like,
He's like, why do I all of a sudden feel the need to finish the Widening Gyre?
He's like, somebody's asking me to do this. I can't stop what I'm doing right now. Whatever I'm doing right now. Probably playing NHL Hockey 94 or something like that, because he's really into hockey or something. I don't know.
Or smoking a lot of weed.
I'd like to have Kevin Smith on this show.
Kevin Smith would never do this show.
Yeah, but I'm sitting in his chair.
Oh, well. That explains everything.
I am tangentially related somehow.
We sat
through
your chair, dude. Would you like come on our podcast
to Kevin Smith, actually. I'll throw that out there. I don't care. He's not listening. If Kevin, he is, great.
Kevin Smith would never do our fucking show.
I don't know. I'm going to try. I think I'm going to. I would like Kevin Smith to do a show of ours.
Oh,
like,
sure. Up
on Sideshow Network, because there's a lot of people that are big fans of his. That he would be fantastic.
Sure.
On.
And I'm sure you could arrange that in some way, but there's no way he's ever going to be on this show.
Maybe. I don't know. I feel everything is possible. I feel at some point we're going to like all of a sudden be like, holy shit, everybody wants to do our show.
And by everybody, do you mean like the three people we know?
No, it's going to be more.
Four people?
Maybe The Rock.
Yes, The Rock is going to want to come on this show.
I'm somehow going to...
Hey, Rock, you want to hear that time we talked about how cool it would be like if you put us in a safe and threw us into the ocean and killed us?
No, I think it was a fridge.
Whatever.
Okay, anyways. Robin, yeah, so we get, let's see, yeah, Batman's talking about the thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then the bald guy that jumps out of a plane after he kills Snakes on a Plane Man. You see that? Remember that?
Yes.
You know, that's when we see that scene. And
well, because that guy didn't die. He killed all those people. That's Snakes on a Plane Man. He killed those people and then he parachuted to safety.
Was he the guy that's supposed to be the next in line?
Yeah. He's the head of. And he like killed these guys and he's like parachuting
down.
Wait,
what's this guy? Is this guy just flying? Is this guy dead?
Yeah, I think he's the pilot.
But he's not dead.
I think he's going to be dead in a minute. The plane blows up.
Well, okay. He's dead now.
Yeah.
Okay, I get it now. I see I was confused. Okay, so there's Snakes on a Plane. He goes into a room. He takes off a coat. And then we go to this party.
Yeah.
And
yeah, this party. So apparently they're like, Robin's like, I hear drums. What the hell? And so then we cut to this party where apparently it's just nothing but comely. How do you say that word?
Comely lasses.
Comely lasses in like skirts and crop tops are just like hanging out. And the creepy guy who's been telling Danny like his whole you are destined thing was just like, did these lasses meet your every need? And he's like, well, yeah, I mean, I guess it'd be kind of, so, see?
Wait a minute.
What? Where did you say that? Yeah, right here.
Oh, yeah.
And he says, well, I guess. And I'm like, well, what does that even mean?
Well, I guess, were you kind of like, was he kind of like, did they give him a semi? Yeah, you know, was he just kind of like, meh.
Or was he like, well, I mean, really, I just want to like hang out and talk to these
kids. Do you guys have like a PlayStation or something? It kind of reminds me. He's probably was like, what's his face? I remember, what's his face? Seth Rogen in Funny People. Because there's that part where like Adam Sandler is like, hey, let's go fuck these chicks. And then, right? And
oh,
then,
God. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
And then there's this part where Adam Sandler is like with this one girl. And then Seth Rogen's with this other girl and they're just in this pool and she's all like, you know, she's like a star fucker or whatever. But, you know, this is the time where, you know, what's his face? Seth Rogen's just like, you know, in the early stages of this relationship with Adam Sandler's character, the comedian. Mm-hmm. And he's like, he's in this pool with this girl and he's all like, this girl's like, hey, yeah. And he's like, hey, let's go underwater and see how long we can hold our breath. You know? And, you know, and I remember seeing that movie through and you go, that seems like fun. I would do that.
Did I?
Yes.
I probably would do that.
That's the thing. You probably would.
I like swimming.
I know you like swimming. Yeah. So that's kind of why. Because this girl's like, Jesus.
No, I'd probably, if some guy, well, here's the thing. I'm not a star fucker.
Yeah.
So my whole point of being in a pool would not be like, hopefully I can sleep with a famous guy.
Yeah.
It would be, well, I actually want to swim. So if somebody was like, hey, let's see how long we can hold our breath. I'd be like, yes.
Yeah,
that sounds like fun.
Yeah. So anyway, so that's what was going on here with the Danny Temple.
Yeah.
And so then, okay. So we get a scene here. We get a bit here with apparently Alfred. Where's Alfred?
I assume Alfred has come to the Arctic, Antarctic, wherever the fuck they are, with Tim to like help him out, and he's in like a cabin somewhere.
Okay.
And there's a cobra there, and Alfred is poking at it with a chair like it's a lion.
Yeah, he's like, I'll get a mongoose after you, blah blah yeah. blah. You know, he's not having a he's having a tough time. And
so then he calls Oracle
and she's like, apparently she was in the shower.
Yeah, and she's like, hey, Alfred, what's going on? And he's like, oh, I need some help, but I didn't want to call Master Bruce because, well, he's kind of a dick, and he would be really mad at Tim right now.
It's funny because
no one wants to talk to him, and Barbara's that much of an asshole.
And Barbara's like, oh, you're going to finally, like let us do shit? Like, girls,
yeah, he's
sisters?
Like, sure.
Yeah, it's just kind of like this little catty conversation they have.
Yeah, about how Bruce is an asshole to everyone around him.
Yeah,
so anyway, then we go to everybody's like filtering into this like ceremonial hall to like crown Danny King of the Snakes or whatever.
Cobra.
Whatever.
Cobra Prime.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I like King of the Snakes.
King of the Snakes. Well, there's another guy called
Mr. Slither.
There's another guy called King Snake. It's different.
Okay, so maybe he's going to be Mr. Slither.
He's going to be the new Jake the Snake.
He's going to be Hiss Boy.
Hiss Boy. That is the worst name for anything.
I'm King Snake, and this is my sidekick, Hiss Boy.
I was like, look, you know, get rid of Hiss Boy.
Yeah. Somebody get rid of Hiss Boy, please. He just follows me around. So they follow him in, and they're like, okay, well, here's the deal. And I guess the whole thing is he has to drink venom.
Yeah.
And if he lives, he gets to be the winner of Snake Land. So as that's all going on, Eve comes up behind Robin and she's like, gonna stab him or something.
Well, she has a knife to subdue him.
Yeah.
And
he's like, oh, that's right. It quickens the pulse, doesn't it? And now I'm gonna shove my tongue in your fucking ear. Let's be friends.
Yeah, well, he says
it's really creepy. This woman is really trying to fuck him.
He says something like, she's speaking in tongues again. It's like, what by sticking your tongue in your ear? Is that how you determine that?
I like that he says again. Well, she didn't do that to you before, bro.
No, she probably, maybe she did. We didn't see it.
Yeah. So, she's like, let's go talk about this in private.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I don't know if they actually leave. They seem to just stand there. And then, all of a sudden, the guy who's been hooded and telling Danny all about how great he is takes off his robe and he is like Fabio,
yeah,
with a fucking giant snake tattoo,
sweet ass snake tattoo,
and nipple rings.
It is the lead singer of Crazy Town Guys.
Now his tattoos aren't nearly as copious.
It's actually kind of fun. Yeah, it's true. It's kind of funny that the snake looks like he's gonna eat his nipple.
Yeah, he's like, delicious.
it's Sir Edmund Dorrance, the King Snake. I've never heard of this guy.
Oh, where's Hiss Boy?
Yeah, where's Hiss Boy?
Maybe that's Danny. Danny's Hiss Boy.
Danny's like, now you're Hiss Boy. He's like, oh, I want to be Hiss Boy.
Yeah, and Robin's like, I gotta save my friend. And Eve's like, we have to fuck. And that's the end of this book.
Yeah, that's it.
That's it.
That's it for Robin. Number 90 from July. Yeah. No, Robin, number 90 from July 19... God damn it. Robin number 90 from July 2001.
Yep.
That's it. Would you read the next issue of this?
I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To be honest, probably not.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't hate it or whatever, but I guess if somebody handed it to me, I'd be like, oh, okay.
I don't dislike this, but I'm also not a Batman.
Well, see, I think my two questions is, number one, how old is Tim Drake? Because if Tim Drake is college age, that informs
questions. I think
he's
like 16-ish here.
Okay, if he's 16-ish, then the answer is no. Because if he is college age or over the age of 18, then I would want to know if he has sex with that Eve lady. If he is under the age of consent, I do not want to know if he has sex with that Eve lady, because that's just wrong.
It's just creepy.
Right. So over the age of consent, maybe. Under the age of consent, no.
I mean, ideal, from given the fact that I think, if I want to say, he was probably 13 when Batman first brought him on in the 90s. You know, like when he was at the height of his Tim Drake-ness.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Maybe his age. I don't think he's 18, though.
Yeah. As long as he's a legal adult, I'd want to know if he fucks his lady.
Yeah.
If he's not a legal adult, No. Not okay with it.
Not cool.
So, I feel bad for Tim Drake, though.
Why?
Well, because I feel like the New 52 kind of just, like, shoved him to the side.
They just made him Red Robin and said...
Go. They made him Red Robin and nobody gave a fuck about him. And they're like, you know who's cool? Damian Wayne. And you're like, no, actually, you are incorrect.
Yeah, well,
They're like, nobody matters except Damien, even though Bruce has like 90 kids. We're only going to focus on this one.
That's right. Oh, I wish all Batman's illegitimate children just show up one day and just fucking...
Well, they're not. It's not that they're illegitimate. He only has one that's technically illegitimate, and that's Damien. The rest of them are just kids that he took in and sort of parents.
Oh, well, that's what I meant. I thought that he just, you know, a lot of chicks gave birth to kids that he doesn't know of.
No, no, only Damien.
Mm, okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's good to know.
Yep. All the rest of them are legitimate? Question mark?
Yeah, okay. You know, I don't even talk about Damien.
Yeah, fuck Damien.
I was going to have some... I had some questions pop in my head about the conception of Damien.
It depends on who you read.
Right. But also, like, you know, how long... I mean, he's, you know, realistically, he's 13.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Right.
Damien.
Yeah.
And that would mean that the soonest he... Let's say if he's 13 now... In 2017 or 2016, he'd have to be born in 2003, and wasn't he like debuted much after that?
You know, I don't actually know when he debuted. I know that there's usually fuckery going on.
I know at the time it's fucked up.
Yeah,
but
the time's fucked up. So it's either that he was actually conceived the old-fashioned way when Talia basically raped Batman,
right? Right.
Or she grew him in a pod boy and then like did weird things to him with science and also had him like live in a whale.
Oh, was it Moby Dick?
I think so. There was just like all sorts of like alien like Damien clones that like live inside whales and then like break out and whatever. So I mean, like I said, it depends on who you read. Regardless, he's a shit character.
Okay.
The end.
Well, this is not.
That's not him.
This
is Tim
Drake.
Yeah. Tim's cool. Not a shit character.
He's not shit. No. Okay. Sorry. We'll be back with the next book.
Hey, Jeff.
Hey, Eric.
Let's tell listeners about our podcast, A Waste of Time with It's the Real.
Yes, we came up with the idea for a podcast where it was going to be a dinner party style conversation on the Upper West Side of Manhattan. All of our rapper friends were going to come over, but then the press release went out and it said that it was going to be a dinner party. And we were like, oh no, we have to cook for all these rappers.
And so we have. We've had people like Jadakiss and Mac Miller and Migos. They're all here to tell stories and they end up being fed, which is great.
Yeah, a little surprise.
Check us out, A Waste of Time with It's the Real, with new episodes every Tuesday.
Yes, download, rate, and subscribe on iTunes or check us out on SideshowNetwork.tv/It's the Real. We out ya.
All right, we're back here on Worst Collection Ever here on Sideshow Network. And we are going to get into our next book.
Mm-hmm.
Let's, this is, oh man, rated A. What does rated A mean? Adult?
Sure. Assholes?
I've never seen rated A.
I don't know what A is.
It says rated A.
I know. I'm assuming it's for adults. I don't know what A
rated is. Rated ass. Anyways. So
rated action.
Yeah. So we're doing She-Hulk. I think this is... I don't know what volume it is. I should probably look, actually.
Meh.
I feel like this is important.
No, it's not really.
Yeah, it is. She-Hulk.
Whatever. She's big and green. She's She-Hulk.
Okay. It's from the...
Sorry.
All right. It's She-Hulk number 6 from May 2006. Mm-hmm. So you figure that out. It's not that's what I say. It's not the sensational She-Hulk.
No.
So
She-Hulk.
She-Hulk number 6, 2006.
Yep.
And on the cover.
Oh yeah.
We have it's She-Hulk.
I'm assuming we're in a courtroom.
We're in a courtroom, and we have a lovely painting of She-Hulk.
And Star Fox.
And Star Fox. She-Hulk is pressed up against him.
And she's like, look at my ass.
She's like, ass. And like Star Fox is like, thumbs up.
He's like, yeah, ass.
He's like, yeah. Which is pretty much that's when you got Star Fox involved in anything, in any story, you know, that's pretty much like... The ongoing deal is yeah ass.
Is yeah ass.
Yeah. If he ever gets like I'm surprised there wasn't like a Star Fox miniseries at some point, and it was just like, you know, like sometimes they'll give them like subtitles and it's like Star Fox, yeah ass.
Is it just because he plows through the fucking universe?
Pretty
cock
much.
First.
Well, I mean, okay. Again, you know where I'm going with this.
Go ahead.
You know, he is an eternal?
I don't know. He has some sort of powers.
Why am I blanking on this? Because he's from Titan.
Mm-hmm.
He's Thanos' brother.
He's like a god, sort of.
Yeah, he's from Titan, so like he's of humanoids, you know. So I'm assuming they, you know, again, it's like Krypton, where it's like, you know, humanoids, so they have what? Oh, you're looking at something.
No.
They have working genitalias.
Yes.
That apparently apply to all races, all alien races.
Well, you know, having never seen an alien race, we don't actually know if we could fuck them or not. But, we might be able to fuck them.
I guess, according to comic books, you can fuck every alien.
Also, according to Star Trek.
And Star Trek, yes, yes.
And I would say Star Wars also says that
actually,
as well.
Actually, you know what? According to most science fiction, you can fuck
all the aliens.
You can fuck all the aliens, guys. Mm-hmm. Actually, there's this one guy, there's one comedian. Tony Machado, who was in Boston, he had this whole bit about fucking an alien, and about how he actually brought up a good point. He's like, well, what if, you know, like I stick my dick in and it's like their body temperature is like fucking like a million degrees.
Oh no.
Like, cause that's a very strong possibility.
It's very,
you know,
strong
once you enter, you know, there's no going back.
Yeah, I guess.
So, but Star Fox does not bother himself with that. No, he does
well,
not.
Well, I mean, being a god sort of thing, you could sort of...
He's kind of
involved, like, you know, Zeus, if we want to look back.
He's not like a god like Zeus, but he's...
I know, but like, you know, he would fuck all the things, and it didn't really matter.
Well, let's also give a preface here. I'm assuming most people know about Star Fox and know what he does, but if you're not familiar with Star Fox, he is a former Avenger. He is a resident of Titan, which is also the home of the Thanos and Mentor and all those jerks. And he has the power to stimulate the pleasure centers of the of an organism's brain.
Right.
So basically he can make you, you know, horny,
mm-hmm.
you know, even or if you
happy.
Don't want to, or happy or whatever, even if you don't want to be.
Yeah. So it's like if the Purple Man only focused on making the pleasure centers working.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's basically what he does.
Yeah.
So Star Fox goes around the galaxy basically fucking everything he comes into contact with.
Yeah.
Because he can. Because he makes all these women want him, even if they actually don't want him. So he's creepy. Yeah. So he is going around saving virgins and fucking space farmers' daughters and partying in space clubs. And then every once in a while, he stops by Earth to
parties.
Try out an Earth lady.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
he does. And we cut to this part where this woman is waking up in bed and Star Fox is putting on his clothing. And he's like, hey, I'm Star Fox. It was so cool to see you. And she's like, what the fuck just happened? Like, I don't remember any of this.
Yeah.
Obviously, you just raped me. And he's like, Mout, woohoo. And he's just gone.
Yeah.
And he doesn't see anything wrong with this. So,
because to him, they're just like all the other aliens in the world. Yeah.
Right. He raped them too.
Yeah.
Again, still doesn't see anything wrong with it. So he's like, woohoo, I'm out. So he's like, oh, I have to go. This woman's pressing charges. So I suppose I should get myself a lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where She-Hulk comes in.
Why does he have to be on Earth, though?
That's what I like. I mean, I understand we're going to put this guy on trial, which is a good thing. But I don't understand why he can't just... He flies.
I mean,
right?
I can't think of... I mean, maybe he's a Silver Reserve Avenger. Maybe that comes up. I can't remember if that comes up or not.
Rapey the Avenger?
Yeah, like, you know, I mean, he was Reserve Avenger, so maybe he hasn't... That's still, like, a liability.
Yeah.
But then again, I mean, he easily... unless
is he in custody? I think they say something later where he's in custody, like, during the night.
Is he not able to leave the Earth?
I don't think so. I think he's supposed to be in custody. I mean, not like he couldn't break out or something, but they don't say what jail he's in. If he's in, like, superhero jail.
In the vault, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. It doesn't actually say.
Right.
So, you know, people are like, Sir Fox, what'd you do? And he's like, oh, she totally wanted it. And
yeah,
She-Hulk's like, oh, fuck. Like, really? Like,
yeah, because really? She-Hulk is a lawyer, by the way.
She-Hulk.
Well, we've talked about She-Hulk before.
Yeah,
yeah.
And She-Hulk's his lawyer, working at a firm that represents superheroes and apparently also supervillains.
Well, just I think it was the thing that they just started representing supervillains.
Yes, because then we cut to She-Hulk at work and the Thing, who is apparently now a billionaire.
Yeah.
Wants.
He's wearing a suit.
He's wearing a great suit. And he's
look at Michael Chiklis in that suit.
I know, doesn't he look good? And so he's asking She-Hulk to represent him because some of the villains he like punched in the face are like suing him for damages.
Yeah,
which is actually very funny. and she's like, "I can't. It's a conflict of interest because we're representing supervillains." And then the Thing notices that they're representing one of the guys who's actually suing him.
Yeah.
So he gets pissed and he leaves. And then
I like Ben Grimm in a suit.
Yeah, Ben Grimm in a suit's a good thing. I also like that he's wearing a hat.
Yeah.
Yeah. I appreciate that. Because he like slams his hat on his head and he's like, oh, I'll never. Like an old timey mad 50s guy. Just like,
who makes a hat that size? He's got it. Well, they got
mega hats.
Yeah. Maybe he goes to megahats.com.
Megahats are.
It's like one of those, big.
They
like,
advertise on the show now.
It's one of those big novelty cowboy hats that you see at like football games or like you used to sell that for Macho Man.
Yeah, those
again,
big
again with the wrestling references. Macho Man used to have big novelty hats. You'd be like, Macho Man.
Well, maybe that's what it is. It's one of those big foam cowboy hats.
But it fits really
but
good.
It fits a, normal,
like a normal hat. Yeah.
On him.
Very good. Yeah.
So he stands out and
grump grump grump.
He takes it personally because he's fucking Ben Grimm.
Ben Grimm's a big drama queen.
He is. He is absolutely a drama queen.
He's always been that way.
Yes, he is.
He's always one of those guys that's got like, oh, woe is me, my tootsies, you know, whatever he's going to
say. He's a bit much. So he's like, rah, 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 and he storms out. And She-Hulk like goes to look in the fridge to find her sandwich. But the way it's drawn, it looks like she's like plopping a squat. Because nobody stands that way to look at a fridge.
She's really tall.
So am I.
Yeah, but you're not. She's taller than you.
You keep your legs together when you bend down if you're just looking for a sandwich.
Well, maybe she's.
Especially if you're in a skirt, because that shit's riding up.
Yeah.
See, obviously drawn by a dude who's never worn a skirt.
It's like, it's really hot when she looks in the fridge.
You can't put your legs apart and then squat if you're wearing a skirt. It's going to end up around your waist. So, anyway, this is an incorrect drawing. I'd like you to know that.
Okay, okay.
All right.
Yeah, and then turns out, because she brought tuna melt to lunch, and Gibbon, the monkey villain, ate it.
And she's like, God damn it.
So She-Hulk is not having...
she's not having not a good day.
Not having a good day, and...
Ends up representing Star Fox.
Yeah, because I think she's flashing back to when Star Fox first showed up, and that's when
and
all
that's
this thing is.
That's how she ended up being his lawyer.
And she used his or her... His sexiness.
Yes. Yeah, because that was the thing. Like, because it flashes back to that's how she ended up with the lawyer. And when he was like, she just wanted to fuck me. And he's like, dude, what? She's like, don't fucking say anything. Do not talk. Don't say anything. As your legal representation, I'm telling you to keep your mouth shut.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. Like, do you forgive me? And she's like, oh, of course I do, Star Fox. I'm so sorry. Because he's using that.
Yeah.
Power of his. So she goes home where she lives with a guy named Pug.
Yeah.
Who's all her colleague and her roommate.
Yeah. She's got a male platonic roommate.
Who is in love with her.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, hey, you know, I'm sorry you had such a hard day. Let's watch Pretty in Pink and eat whatever's in this Tupperware.
It'd be funny if the monkey was there eating that food too.
He's like, what you gonna do about it?
He's like, I followed you home and I ate your food. What are you going to do about my monkey? I'll see you later.
You make good tuna fish sandwiches. I don't know. It's not my problem.
Can't get these anywhere else. What are you talking about? I'm a monkey.
I'm a monkey. So they watch Pretty in Pink, whatever. And her roommate's like, I got something to tell you. Oh, I'm going to tell you that I love you.
I love you.
I love you. So. And then all of a sudden it's like, Pilot McFuckman like walks
well,
in
it's,
and he's like, I am the
John
best.
Jameson.
Pilot McFuckman.
John Jameson, J. Jonah Jameson's son, who used to be a wolf. He used to be Man Wolf.
I like Pilot McFuckman.
No, he was Pilot McFuckwolf.
Pilot McFuckwolf. So he like walks in, he's like, hey baby, I'm home, and she's like, yeah, because this is her boyfriend. And of course, Pug's like, oh man, poor me. If I just would have said something. Yeah, maybe if you fucking made a move like you were fucking supposed to. But
read
go ahead and
comic
cry about
books
it. Whatever.
And extreme friend zoning.
Well, it's just like he's like whining and complaining. I'm like, you're the one who never said anything.
Yeah.
Like, you didn't make a move, and then you're mad that she didn't, like, mentally just, like, figure out that you wanted to have sex with her. Like, she's not fucking psychic.
Yeah.
All right. So, then we go to, who is this cowboy?
Cowboy. Oh, that's, Two Gun Kid.
Okay.
Two Gun Kid, and he lives with, Super Adaptoid.
Yes.
Who is actually, what they call him, Awesome Andy. And Two Gun Kid, I believe, no, that's Rawhide Kid. Or maybe, wait, I'm confused. I want to say, is it Rawhide Kid is gay? Maybe Two Gun Kid is gay? I don't know.
Yeah. Regardless, there's a cowboy in here. And he lives with an android.
Oh, mid-aughts Marvel, you confuse me.
And he lives with an android, and the android's getting out of bed, and cowboy's like, oh, that, no, I'm fucking following you. I need to know where you're going. Because that's what you do when your roommate goes out. You follow them. Because that's not creepy. So he, like, rides a mechanical vulture? I don't know what that is. What is that?
It's my robot horse.
It looks like a vulture.
Yeah, it does look like a vulture, actually.
So he, like, follows and he sees the android is helping this woman.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Go to the next page. Because I think it's,
Mallory Book. She's had some sort of problems and she can't walk, but he happens to just like look in when the android's helping her rehab, and he's like, your legs are spread apart, yeehaw, you must be fucking the android. She's wearing pants.
Yeah,
everybody's fully clothed.
yeah he sees her doing this, and then
he's like, I'm sorry, I didn't want to interrupt some lady having the sexin' with a square-headed android. And she's like, no, it's not what it looks like. I'm obviously still wearing clothing.
Yeah.
You fucking moron.
And then she's like, android means nothing to me.
And then he has a sad, like, he has, like, a screen that, like, talks for him.
Yeah.
And it's just a sad heart that's broken. Because that is mean. Even if she doesn't want to be with the android, just saying he doesn't mean anything to me is, that's not nice. So I feel bad for Android. So we cut to She-Hulk walking to work in athletic wear, because that's what one wears to the office.
Yeah.
And she has like a thing.
Yeah, she has. So She-Hulk, this was something that like she's a strange deal, because she's not like Bruce. Because basically, you know how She-Hulk is She-Hulk, right?
No.
So Bruce Banner is her cousin.
Right.
And she, in the 80s, you know, when she first debuted, something happened where she needed, like, there was a mob thing, and she was shot, and she needed a blood transfusion.
Okay.
And she got a blood transfusion from Bruce.
Okay.
And Bruce has gamma blood.
Right.
So it irradiated her blood and basically allowed her to change into She-Hulk.
Mm-hmm.
So she's been able to do that. Now, there's been points where either she's been permanently She-Hulk, or she just stays as She-Hulk because she likes being She-Hulk. Because it's not a thing where she could still has her facilities as She-Hulk.
Right.
You know, instead of when Hulk, you know, normally when Hulk would turn into Hulk, you know, Bruce would turn into Hulk, he has no clue what he's doing, and he's, you know, he's the Hulk.
Right.
So, and I think this is just something where she's able to change back and forth.
Well, she, like, pushes a button.
It's kind of like the Creeper, actually. What the Creeper has had, you know, typically would have his device, the skin device that would allow him to switch between his Creeper outfit and everything.
Yeah, so she's like, okay, I gotta go to work, and she likes to be She-Hulk when she's at work in the office, because there's so many, like, crazy, you know, superpowered people walking around, it just makes her feel better. So, she does it, and of course, Pilot McWolfface, is just like, don't do that in front of me, man. Like, that's gross. Like, he gets all upset, and then they get in a fight because he's basically saying, like, don't ever not look like your human self.
Yeah.
And she's offended by that because obviously, it's offensive. So, so they get in a fight and she storms off. And then we are at the office where roommate McSadsack had slept on his couch because She-Hulk doesn't love him.
Yeah.
And then he hears, is this their boss?
No, I think it's a different place that he works, because he works for a Mr. Zix.
Oh, I thought they worked together. Maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah, no, I mean, well, his name was like Pugliese. That's why she calls him Pug.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Roommate McSadsack.
Sad Sack. And then he accidentally walks in on, who is, let's see, he's talking.
Isn't that Star Fox's dad?
No, and that's Star, this is Isaac. Isaac is the supercomputer that runs throughout Titan.
Oh, okay.
And so he's Titan.
He's like the messenger.
And he's kind of, like he's talking on behalf of Mentor, who is Eros's, or Star Fox's dad.
Okay, yeah. So he's talking to him and talking about what's going on with the case. Whatever.
And it's kind of weird because it's kind of shady. So
yeah, there's a little shade shit going on. They do work together because this guy shows up again and talks to Star Fox. Oh, I don't know. We'll figure it out.
No, we won't.
No. Yeah, so here's... No, because here they come around the corner and there's that woman. What's her name? Morgan Book or whatever, who was training...
Mallory.
Mallory. She's in her wheelchair and she's talking to a guy dressed like a bear.
I think it's Grizzly.
Yeah, and she's going to represent them. She's talking... So they work in the same place. This is legal representation.
Yeah.
So saying like, oh, well, I think we have a pretty good case. We can prove it's not you, whatever. And then Android, who is now in a suit and tie.
Yeah.
He's not having a very good day. She-Hulk not having a good day because she's fighting with her boyfriend and walk into the office and they're fighting. So no one's having a good day. And then Star Fox walks in. And he is stupid. So he sees Android and he's like, oh, it's Mr. So-and-so's Android. I'm going to kick his ass.
Yeah, because it's, you know, it's the Mad Thinker's Android.
Right. Last time he was here, granted, Android was evil. So, yeah, because this is where he says, like, do I have to stay there at night, like, in that facility, holding facility?
No, I don't understand why he does.
That's what he says.
I mean, yeah, because these are vault guardsmen. These are...
Right, so they obviously he's been arrested or something, or they're trying to keep him from doing more rapey shit. Or leaving Earth?
What? He's not an Earth man. He could just easily leave. I mean, why? Not to say that he shouldn't be brought to justice.
Right.
But he has.
I don't know if he was caught or like arrested or.
I mean, maybe he's being detained.
Maybe this.
I find it kind of weird that it makes it. It seems like it should be pretty easy for him to get away.
Yeah, I'm not exactly sure why he's.
Because here. He is genetically superior, you know, being from Titan.
Right. So I'm not sure why he wasn't able to escape either.
Yeah.
Or maybe he didn't even think, I don't know, whatever. So he starts beating up the android, and the android says, ow. Then he wants to beat up Grizzly.
Yeah, because he's like, because you're all supervillains, and he doesn't realize that these are people here to, although I right. do like Super Adaptoid has like, ow.
I know, I feel bad
for him. He has a lot of things he says, like, because like, at one point, that girl in the wheelchair, you know, Mallory's talking to him, and he's like, la la la, I can't hear you, says that on his little chest, you know.
I know. He's having a bad day. And then he gets his ass kicked by Star Fox. Yeah. So they're like, okay, stop. You know, they pull him apart. And
yeah, let's just see here. Yeah, I know. It's a bunch of faux pas going on here.
Yeah. Pull him apart and it's like, you know, knock it off. Stop doing this bullshit. And then he's like, oh, who's this guy who's helping hold me back? She's like, it's my boyfriend. He's like, oh, you guys are perfect for each other. And they're like, yeah, no, we are. We are perfect for each other. And then, of course, they stop fighting immediately and they're like back in love.
Yeah.
Because he is putting the whammy on them, basically.
Yeah. And then she kind of like convinces this Mallory chick to be into Gumby
Head. Yeah. Because she's like, oh, you know, don't you have feelings for this android? And she's like, I do. I love him. And then he's like, really? Like, oh, my God. And then like they're together.
How are they fucking?
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know if.
We use an adaptoid. He will adapt a dick.
Yeah. Nice. But see, then he talks to that guy, Zix.
Zix, okay.
And he's like, well, I'm going to tell your dad. Like, if you don't calm your shit down, I'm going to talk to your dad. And he's like, oh, you know, I'm really sorry. I'll never do it again. I trust this makes you happy. And Zix says, no, it doesn't. And then he walks away. So obviously his powers don't work on everybody.
Yeah.
And Zix is one of these people it doesn't work on.
Not good.
So Zix walks away. She-Hulk and her stupid boyfriend are happy.
Yeah.
So then they go to court and he has like groupies outside, which is creepy. They go to court, and the judge is just like, I'm not having any of these fucking superhero shenanigans. No one's going to bring a robot or put a ghost on the stand. Like, all the, this is what he says it up here. Just like, no ghosts, no robots appearing out of thin air, and none of that shit.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, but we didn't bring the ghost. He's like, I don't fucking care. Just don't do any bullshit. And then they're like, okay, well, you know, we're going to do this. And then they look at the victim, who is the mother of three, has no infidelities, and just standing there. And they're like, okay, well, you know, you're going to have to, like, pull this woman through the mud, right? You know that.
Yeah, and he's got to, like, her job, She-Hulk's job is to basically convince that it was okay for Star Fox to
that
be...
That it was consensual.
Creepy as shit.
That it was a consensual sexual encounter. By basically destroying this woman's character. So that's She-Hulk's job. And she's like, yeah, no, I totally get it. It's going to be fine. And Pug is there. This is Pug.
Yeah.
And he's like, all right, well, you know, you got to have focus. And she's like, oh, I do. But then it cuts to her notepad where she's just drawing her name and her boyfriend's name in like hearts. Because she's still under the...
Star Fox's
little spell,
which is kind of weird. It's just like, I mean, just because he told her that she's gonna love her, I mean, I don't know, it just seems like a weird, like, I thought it was just like a temporary thing.
Well, I'm sure it wears off, but I don't know how long it takes. So that's the end of that. Yeah.
All right, so that's She-Hulk number 6 from May 2006. Would you read another rated A issue of this book?
Sure, if I can figure out what rated A means. I'm assuming it means adult.
I've heard a lot about this series as well. It's, you know, it's pretty well regarded, you know, as far as being like, hey, it's one of those fun comic books.
Yeah, and I do love the conceit of you know, somebody having to defend these heroes in court and villains, and
yeah,
I think it's pretty funny. So I would definitely.
I think I probably would. I wouldn't go on my way to find it, though.
No, but. I hope Star Fox gets punched in the dick.
Yeah, he doesn't say... I often, when I read about him, and maybe he... I don't know. I have to figure him out more, but I don't often read of him or know of him getting his comeuppance very often.
Yeah.
Like, he kind of just goes his own way, doing whatever is all his bullshit.
Putting his dick in things.
Mm-hmm. And everybody being like, oh, that's gross.
It's all right. Yeah. Woo. Yeah. It's fine, Star Fox.
So, yeah, I never see him get his comeuppance, so I'm always curious to see if that's...
I just want someone to be like, dick punch, dick punch, dick punch, dick punch. And then Star Fox is like,
And then he explodes.
And then it's broken forever. And I'd be like, oh, that sucks. You can't rape anymore. Wah, wah. I don't feel bad for you.
He's like my mangled alien pud.
Is that what he refers to it as? Mangled alien pud?
Did you ever see that? It was a sketch, actually. It was a sketch where it was an Adam Sandler sketch where he's like...
Is that just about how Adam Sandler in general has a mangled alien
pud? No. It's like this. He's playing this character where he's like, he's a super sexy, suave guy. And he's been, you know, hearing he's supposed to be with this chick. You know, and they're like, oh, yeah, let's get into it. You know, let's do this. And then he's like, now you're going to see my pud.
Ew.
And like the girl's like, oh, no, no,
no, she gets no, it. No, like, no, don't say the word pud. It's gross.
So, so that's kind of, that's what I'm imagining is probably said here at some point. He's like, alien pud attack. And the girl's like,
Ew.
Anyways. All right. That's it for this week's show. Thanks for listening. You can find us on Twitter. I'm at Angry Hero Sean, S-H-A-W-N. Also on Instagram, Angry Hero Sean, and my Tumblr, theangryhero.tumblr.com.
Sorry, I'm still thinking about Star Fox's dick. And how he's probably not any good in bed anyway.
No, he's probably very mediocre.
Oh, he's probably terrible, because he never has, like, all he does is, like, tell women to want to have sex with him, and so they do, but he doesn't have to actually, like, try.
Yeah.
Man, that's the worst.
Yeah. Yeah, no, he's a...
So if he actually manages to have consensual sex, it's really shitty for the lady. Anyway, so I'm at Jen Stansfield on Twitter and Instagram, jenstansfield.tumblr.com and jenstansfield.wordpress.com.
Okay. And you can also check out SideshowNetwork.tv for all the great podcasts here on our network. So much good stuff that you need to rate, subscribe to all of our shows, particularly this show. I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about.
I don't know. Yes, subscribe to our show.
Subscribe
so
to our show.
You can hear more conversations about alien dick.
Yes, and you can rate, subscribe, tell a friend, and please support. And thank you for listening, folks. We'll see you again next time.